Get Pucked.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Get Pucked podcast. Vito and Matt here with you tonight, along with a very special guest. We have the president of the fourth period and hockey insider, Dave Pagnotta, with us. Dave, how you doing?
I'm good, boys. How's it going?
Yeah, we're doing good. Trade deadline's coming up. Things are exciting. Yeah. And, you know, there's lots of big names that we're going to want to get to at the end, you know, because obviously it's just very entertaining stuff to begin with. But we focus here predominantly on the Canadians, and that's where we're going to want to start with you. Right off the bat, how bad did all the injuries that have been affecting the Canadians this season, how badly is it going to affect their plays, in your opinion, towards trade deadline? We knew that, you know, we had Monahan. He was like a lock to get another first at one point in the season. Edmondson also another, oh my God, maybe first, maybe second in prospect. Everybody's hurt. So yeah. how bad is this really going to play? Is it going to play a big factor, or what have you been hearing?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, you know, the health of some of the guys around the league certainly play a factor. And if there's transparency and there's an understanding as to when they're going to come back, I mean, that's what you want. But at the same time, it's obviously going to affect the price tag. So there's not a lot of transparency with respect to Sean Monahan. Nobody really knows exactly what's ailing him, when he's going to come back, all of that stuff. I do know there have been no contract discussions so far with respect to an extension. So, I mean, are the Habs going to take their chances and just hold on to him, let him walk as a free agent? They already got a first-round pick to take him. Yeah. You know, do you cut your losses and just go from there, or hope that he signs a short-term deal, see if he gels and still continues to gel with the team when he's healthy? And if he does, awesome, because it certainly sounds like he's liked his time here so far. Edmondson looks like he's coming back, so that's going to certainly help stabilize that price tag. And if it is a first round pick plus, still, for a guy with 1 year left, to see how he can perform, and if he can come back from this injury pretty seamlessly, that'll help their chances. You know, outside of that, yeah, you have other players, Dadonov and Drouin, and on expiring deals, and you know, you've got some other players with term on their deal, that whether it's Hoffman or Armia, who's got a few more years, things like that, that are going to factor in. But yeah, I suspect the Canadians will continue to be pretty active, whether they start to pull some triggers on a couple deals here or more. I mean, obviously we got, what, 16, 17 days to figure that out.
For sure.
If Monahan does come back, assuming he comes back maybe the end of this week, is there still a chance that he could fetch a very good return?
I mean, he's got to have however many games he plays, he's got to be pretty lights out to garner a first-round pick. It sounds like right now we're in a bit of a buyer's market. At least that's how things are kind of shaping up. Talking to people around the league, that's what it seems like. Obviously, the sellers want to change that.
Sure.
Certainly, so you can max returns. But it's going to depend on what's available out there. I mean, there's less defensemen overall than forwards. So that's going to factor in as well. There are teams that are going to be waiting to the 11th hour to see if prices drop. And the sellers have to decide whether or not they want to just get something or bite the bullet, because it may affect negotiations and trades later on for those teams. You caved and gave this. Might as well just cave and give us what we want. So that kind of plays a factor too. It really is going to depend on what you would define a good return for Monahan. Is it a couple second-round picks, second and a third, second and a prospect, just the top-tier prospect that would be, you know, considered a late first-rounder in terms of value? All of that has to be considered in terms of how the Canadians feel with respect to what the offers they're getting.
For sure. I mean, given the fact, like you mentioned, right? I mean, whatever the Canadians do get from Monahan is probably just gravy at this point. I mean, right. If he didn't get hurt, it would have been, hey, we can really see with his play as he was playing in the beginning of the season, this was really trending towards like, oh, a contending team could add a piece like him and really make a go of it. And they'll give up a first, maybe first and then some, but a first for sure. Now, I mean, I think most Canadian fans would be pretty thrilled if he comes back, does a couple of good stints there, a couple of good games, and if it's not a first, well, a second and a prospect, I think would be a phenomenal return for Sean Monahan at this point. If he's not in the plans in the future, which you, right. I think you mentioned you didn't hear anything about contract extensions at this point.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. But there was a name that you did mention quickly. I did want to jump back to because he is a bit of a black sheep on the team. And Jonathan Drouin, is there really a market for this guy at this point? What's with how he's been playing, with what's going on?
I mean, if he's getting dealt, it's mid-level pick.
Yeah, but there's even interest at that rate. I haven't heard much about Drouin's name. That's why I was very interested to hear your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, money's going to have to be retained on this one. If the Canadians want to get it, and again, they have to value that. Is it worth eating $2 million plus on his deal to get a fifth-round pick? Maybe. I don't know the inner workings of Hughes's mind. So he's ultimately got to make that call. And yeah, it's a something for nothing type of scenario, effectively. But the Canadians have to decide what they really want to do there. And in terms of retaining, is it going to affect any other potential deals? Like a Drouin type deal, if it does happen, is either going to be, okay, we're not going to get a better offer than this, so let's do it now. Or it's a last resort, 11th hour, 2:58 p.m. Eastern type of trade for the Canadians just to get something out of it. That's kind of where him, I think, Dadonov, Dadonov, whatever, is kind of falls in that same boat. You're going to have to retain. Is a team looking at this, at either of these players, as a bottom six hole filler that want a little bit more of an offensive flair to their bottom six, and bottom six realistically third line. I mean, I'm not going to be shocked if on March 4th they're still in the Canadiens uniforms, but at the same time, the Canadiens have to weigh out what they want to do. Is it worth retaining to get a mid-level pick at best, or just hang tight, let them play out the year, and wave goodbye in free agency?
So, okay, that's a very good point. I mean, I don't know how much they could possibly get for Drouin. The only team I could see a fit for Drouin, only because there's a link there with McKinnon, would be Colorado. But then again, anything is possible in the NHL. Besides the players that have been rumored, the obvious names, the Edmondsons, even Josh Anderson, there's been a lot of smoke there. Have you heard any rumblings of any of the Habs prospects that could be added to a package deal or maybe teams are interested in?
It doesn't sound like the Canadians are really engaged in those types of discussions right now. I was wondering, there were some whispers that maybe they'd been talking to Vancouver about Brock Besser. I looked in on that, and to my knowledge, no, nothing is, at least nothing is recent with respect to what's going on in Vancouver with Brock. But there were some rumblings, I guess, about that possibility as Vancouver tries to find a new home for this guy and tries to work something out. But I haven't heard anything from a legitimate standpoint, talking to people with the Canucks and within Besser's camp as well. So I don't think that's really a fit. Timo Meier, I'm sure they'd love to get their hands on him, just like a bunch of other teams. But I haven't heard that there's too much activity there. And it sounds like the Canadians maybe, kind of combing through the market to look at if they are in these types of scenarios, discussions, it's more likely to look towards the offseason around draft time to potentially pull something off. If something happens now, you pounce on it if it kind of falls into your lap. But I suspect the Canadians are more focused on trying to move out some of the pieces they've got, trying to retain some additional assets and young pieces versus the hockey type trades at the moment that could potentially include some young kids and things of that nature. I just haven't really heard too much noise on that front.
Okay. And I want to pivot to Josh Anderson, if you don't mind. There's been a lot of smoke there. So when there's smoke, there's usually fire. And I mean, it's a couple of years now that we're hearing Josh Anderson's name in the rumor mill. How much weight would you put it this year versus last year that he would get moved?
I'd be surprised, not shocked, but surprised if he's moved by the deadline. I don't see an overall appetite to make that type of transaction right now. Again, it may be a scenario where something just falls into Ken Hughes's lap and he's got to seriously consider his options. And I know Josh's name is all over the place and continues to be, but I don't know if that's, to be perfectly honest, legitimate smoke or market-induced smoke. You know, so like there's the so things tend to have a bit of a life of their own. And I wonder if this falls under that category right now. There were talks before. Yeah, there were talks in the offseason. Yeah, teams have reached out and just kind of checked in occasionally. Hey, would you move this guy? What's the price? All right, we'll let you know. And then nothing actually happens. But in terms of progress on that front, it's entirely possible. I just haven't heard it.
And so let's talk about you're mentioning like you'd be surprised. Who would you be surprised to the opposite is still a Canadian post-trade deadline?
I mean, it sounds like there is traction on Edmondson's front, excuse me, with Edmonton being one of the teams that continue to kind of weigh their options there. I'd be a little bit surprised if he's still around. Because, again, I think the defensive market is a little bit thin. And with Chychrun and Gavrikov pretty much ready to go in terms of an acceptance to move them, with the Carlson situation, I mean, there are a few legitimate options there in terms of
making big names. Aren't they a class apart? Yeah, these are big names. Yeah.
But and then outside of that, there aren't many others. I mean, I guess Luke Shen, you kind of throw him into the mix. Mikkel has already been moved. You got a Justin Braun out of Philadelphia. You have those caliber players, but. With 1 year left on his contract, to stabilize a second or third pair, depending on how you utilize him on that left side, I think there's interest. It's just a matter of let's see how the big boys go first. And if teams realize that they can't get in that mix, then, okay, let's go to a plan B or C. Like for Edmonton, they'd love to get their hands on Carlson.
So we've been doing it. Yep.
You know, the backup is a total shift in type of player. Is it a Gavrikov or Edmondson, or do they look to see if maybe it's a John Klingberg if you want to go more offensive? So it really is going to depend on prices for a lot of these players to see how the market is going to weigh itself out. And I think Joel's kind of right in the middle of that, where teams can go, okay, if we can't get an offensive type guy, then let's get somebody who can shut down the opposition. And that's where an Edmonton kind of plays a factor, where Boston kind of plays a factor, where LA kind of plays a factor. So it's going to come down again, obviously, to price. But I'd be a little bit surprised if he's still around, because there aren't nearly as many defensemen as there are forwards that are readily available.
So I've noticed on Twitter lately, there's, you know, they always show that list of scouts that are attending certain games, and Winnipeg's had quite a few scouts at the Habs games. Who do you think they might be looking at?
If you're trying to get Dubois' name out there.
No. I don't know.
He saw right through you.
The Anderson thing. I mean, if you're Winnipeg, you're going to hold tight. You want to add. And this is another team that, I mean, there are a lot of teams right now that are doing a lot of due diligence and are in on almost every big name. And it doesn't mean they're going to get one, two, three of those big names, but they just want to get an idea of the market and try to get a sense of what their competition is trying to look at too. Boston, Calgary, Winnipeg, they're in on a ton of guys. And it's mainly to see who's I'll throw Toronto in there too. It's mainly to see who's available, are the prices going to drop, and is my competition trying to do what I'm trying to do? So with Winnipeg, you're looking to see, you know, maybe the price does drop on a Joel Edmondson. Maybe a Mike Hoffman can be had for a mid-level pick or something like that. I don't think so. But the mindset is, if the prices drop closer to deadline, I want to make sure I know exactly who's available and what the price is, so that I can pounce in that 11th hour if my competitor does something. Like if Dallas is looking to make some, they're not in on everybody, but they're strategically placing themselves in positions to add. So if I'm Winnipeg, I need to be able to react if a team that I'm fighting for first in the Central with makes a significant impact move. Can I make a lateral type move that fits within my team structure? So a lot of teams have to make sure they're positioning themselves in a position in an area to respond. And it doesn't mean, okay, Dallas adds Patrick Kane. Well, that means I have to add Ryan O'Reilly, you know, for example. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It just means, or Jonathan Toews, for example. It means that okay, if this guy fits here, how do we improve our club? We believe in our top six. We don't necessarily have to go after someone. Can we make our third line that much better to give us even more potency, lines one through four? So it really depends. So from Winnipeg's perspective, they're looking at a variety of different options. And if it is the Canadians that they end up doing something with, I can see it being an Edmondson on the back end. I can see it being somebody up front, be it a Hoffman with 1 year left. Maybe they go a little extreme and try to get more term with an Armia or somebody to that effect. Maybe it is the center position and they can get Sean Monahan cheap if he comes back early, or it's a combo type deal. They want to be around. Some scouts like to be around, not to just watch the game, but to have chit-chats with some of their other scouts, some of the other managers that are around. It's more than just looking at the talent on the ice.
I think that's super fair, and it allows people to breathe a little bit more when they get those reports and you see the 14 scouts there, and you're like, oh, who are they looking at? That there is more to the business, and I think that's a really great insight. I do want to take a little bit of time. I know we're going to run out of time with you, so I don't want to take too much time on it, but the big names that are out there, the Erik Karlssons, the Patrick Kanes, you mentioned Ryan O'Reilly, Timo Meier, these guys, where do you think most of these guys are going to find a new home? I mean, not necessarily guaranteeing or anything like that, but just in your opinion, from the things you've heard without really guaranteeing it, where are you seeing most of these guys landing come post-trade deadline?
Are you asking Dave to do like a rapid fire here?
I can throw you names if you want, but I mean, like Patrick Kane, you threw his name out there. Where do you see the best fit for him?
I think there's a couple options, or maybe more, but I know Dallas really likes him, and I know Dallas is a team he'll consider. I think Toronto is a team he'll consider. Both have different cap restraints. We're hearing all the Vegas Carolina talk because these are two other teams that are running the big boys, because all of a sudden they have a lot of cap space because of LTIR, with Pacioretty and Carolina going out for the season and Stone being out for the regular season. So they may throw a wrench in some teams' plans that are trying to add. And, you know, with Tarasenko out of the market, a lot of eyes are on Kane. But, you know, I checked in with his camp today. There's no decision that's being made. They haven't submitted a list. They haven't told Chicago, okay, I'll go here, here, or here. They haven't done that yet. They're still evaluating to see how some of these teams are going to perform. So I think from Kane's side of things, I think he's got a few significant options. I would throw, outside of the Rangers, I would throw Dallas, Toronto, Vegas in that mix. Carolina, kinda. And the other team that's lurking, the Islanders. If they somehow get on a run here, they've expressed interest in Kane from the get-go. They could circle back if Lou feels they can make another addition here, because they also have the cap space to make a pretty impact move. But they got to win. Like those the losses over the week, like to the Habs and Vancouver before, that did not sit well with management.
Lastly, I have one last question. Other than the names we've been hearing, the big names and the common ones, do you expect a surprise trade? Somebody, maybe a rumbling that you've heard, a little something out there that could happen but would surprise the average person?
Yes, on a couple fronts. I'm actually I'm writing something right now that will come out tomorrow.
Little teaser.
With a couple Canadian teams. There's one name out there that our team has inquired about, and there's been a little bit of legs to that. I'm going to save that for I guess Wednesday, actually, for when it comes out. The other player that's out there that some teams have been poking around about is Colton Parayko, and there's depending who you talk to, there are recent talks, there are talks that go further back, where teams just kind of poke around and say, hey, what would this guy cost? And can we make something happen? St. Louis is a little bit open with everything going on. They have Ryan O'Reilly, they have Barbashev, they have Grice and Achari, a couple other options there. But I wonder if the market plays out and Carlson's gone and Chychrun's gone and Gavrikov's gone and Edmondson's either gone or almost gone. I wonder if guys like Parayko or even Ivan Provorov get a little bit more attention. So I'm kind of looking actually at both of those guys over the next 2 weeks, because they may be a casualty, so to speak, of some other guys leaving and teams having to shift to go in a different direction.
All right. Well, if you're interested, anybody who's listening, to find out who the surprise, who might be the guy that no one's expecting to be out there, definitely check out Dave. It's at the fourth period on Twitter. You can catch him there. Definitely catch him for the next couple of weeks for sure, because that's where tons of breaking news comes from. So, and we really appreciate you taking the time, Dave. Of course, you're super, super busy now. We're going to let you go. You got another thing you're going to jump back to. So appreciate it so much.
Absolutely.
And on behalf of Vito and myself, guys, this was Get Pucked.